We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
All right, into the 1 o'clock hour on this Thursday. Hope everybody's having a fantastic day. We'll get to a proposal that's out there for college football from one coach in particular in the Big Ten about how he thinks they can pull off a spring football season. A little bit of news also here during the break from potentially the ACC. Reports down in Florida that Florida State President John Thrasher says the ACC presidents are meeting at 4:30 today. He thinks it will be the final decision on whether to play. So keep an eye out for that. The ACC may be making a decision, just like the Big 12 and the SEC have made, which is to continue to move forward with college football in the fall. But it's time for some broadcast news. We do this each and every Thursday when we welcome in, once again, Harold Kuntz over at Fox 4. Of course, sports reporter over there. Let's start there with college football, Harold, man. Like, the Big 12, they're moving forward. The ACC, maybe we'll learn this afternoon if they're 100% all in for the fall. What has your reaction been for what this mess over the last few days has been maybe cleared up temporarily outside of the Big 10 and the Pac-12?
Yeah, you're definitely right. It is a mess, and we'll see going forward how if it sticks. And I'm kind of interested to see how the ACC meets up because, again, you know, people forget about the ACC. You've got teams in Massachusetts and Florida. I mean, it exists for Boston College in Miami, and then you go to Notre Dame and Louisville, so you're in the Midwest. There's three different regions. So, again, if you have the Big Ten that's saying that Penn State can't play, but Pitt can play, and then have a like Iowa situation where the Hawkeyes can't play, but the Cyclones can. I'm just fascinated to see what is going on with the regional medical advice that everybody's getting, because obviously there's big cities like the Pac-12. All those schools are in big cities. I mean, the smallest town is Spokane, which is in Washington State. That's the smallest. Everybody else is in L.A., Seattle, Bay Area. I can kind of see where they're getting at, but the Big Ten, you have a big mix. You have teams that are in the middle of nowhere, like State College and Iowa City, but then you have places like Northwestern, which are right outside of Chicago. ACC is all cities, Boston, Miami, Louisville, most of those schools in North Carolina are revolving around the Raleigh Charlotte area. So it's fascinating to see how it's all kind of mixed out, you know, and the Big 12, I guess the biggest thing the Big 12's got going for it is, with the exception of TCU, most of the cities that the colleges are in are not in, you know, prime population areas. So that's kind of their advantage they have going for them. So it's a crapshoot. We're all learning things, and nobody really knows what to think right now. But as of right now, we have a schedule that says, you know, come mid-September, you know, we'll play the football.
Maybe.
It's an interesting situation. Yeah.
Where's your confidence level, Harold? Like, if I made you rank it 1 out of 10, that the SEC, Big 12, and let's just call ACC, even though we're waiting for their official word on it, let's say they're supposed to all start late September. Confidence level 1 through 10, they actually play football at that time.
That's funny. You mentioned that, Cody, because I was talking to my father about this, and you guys know I'm from Nashville, Tennessee originally, and my dad and I both came to the conclusion that, you know, we grew up, you know, trying to create pain to ourselves and watching Vanderbilt football games all the time, but, you know, part of the thing of going to Vanderbilt football games, when Tennessee or Florida or Georgia comes to town, there's a good solid 15,000-20,000 people there that take up half the stadium at Vanderbilt. But we both came to this conclusion. The SEC, my confidence level is 15 at 1 through 10. And I say that because, to use the Southern term, it would be a high time in hell before they cancel Alabama Auburn. It's just, that's just the way it's going to be. Like, I say this with respect to anybody who's got relatives in Alabama, but they probably even agree with me when I say that, you know, if some people happen to get sickly because of the Alabama Auburn football game, well, so, like, it's just going to go on. You know, being from Tennessee originally, I know that I almost put my certainty level for the SEC above the NFL. And I'm not even exaggerating either. That's just how I feel. The Big 12, on the other hand, I think they've got a good plan going forward, and I like what they all said, like, okay, well, so we need to be more focused on some of the heart failures that could happen. So let's get some EKG testing in there. Let's make sure that we have, we're taking care of those situations. So, and again, every week, every, month, if they have to add new things, they'll add new things. I'm sure the NFL is going to realize this too. But I feel pretty confident the league that I've said they're still playing football will still play football. Confidence level that we get through it all the way safely and without a hitch, like this is any other normal year. I mean, we'll knock it down to like a 7 or 8, because I'm sure there's going to be, a team or two that has, like, let's hope it's not as bad as the Marlins, and especially not as bad as the Cardinals, just for the safety and security of those kids. But it definitely could be a situation where we have some postponements, but that's what it puts into 5 weeks in everybody's schedule. So it's going to be interesting to see going forward.
Some breaking news coming in from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. The Chiefs, according to his sources, are closing in on signing star tight end Travis Kelce to a long-term extension, at least 5 years. That keeps him in KC, obviously, for the foreseeable future. No details yet specifically on what the number is, Harold, as we're talking with Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 as well here. The news earlier today was George Kittle, guys, and we were having a discussion earlier on the show about, all right, now the number set, highest paid tight end is George Kittle. It's $15 million on average per year. But what is the number going to be for Kelce now? Could they work out? There's 2 years left on his contract. How close does he get to 15? How would you structure it? What's your reaction to this, Harold? Because I think the way I look at it is I could see them with, there's $11 million cap hit currently for Kelce this year, $9 million next year. They've got $15 million in cap space on this 2020 season, so maybe you're able to front load essentially, and you've got some money to work here on year one, and then maybe the rest does come on year four and five.
I've learned first and foremost to never really question what Brett Veach and Grant Tillis are doing up there, because whatever wizardry they're doing with the calculator or abacus, whatever they're doing over there, it's working.
God.
And I think let's measure it this way. Let's go with Kittle. So you see what his value is to the team in terms of what he is as a weapon to that offense, making Jimmy Garoppolo look good. Travis Kelce, I would argue, is quite up there in the upper echelon of targets there. I mean, he makes that offense go just as much as anybody else does. He's a star. He's still young. He's still got his legs. And you got to keep him. You got to make sure that you preserve your key pieces.
They're not.
And also, let's think about this, tight end-wise. Who's got a backup at the position? So he's certainly very valuable, even more so as a blocker, too. But you saw that game against Houston. I mean, where is Mahomes' outlet? Kelce. And we're seeing it more and more with NFL offense. The best NFL offense, if you look at it, Brady has Gronk. Brady has Gronk down in Tampa Bay. You have Garoppolo, who has Kittle. Mahomes has Kelce. Like, good offenses go through a good tight end. And they are just as key to the offense as anybody else. And now they're starting to see that the tight ends have their worth. It's kind of the same way we saw the defensive end saw that they had their worth. So they're just starting to get their bigger piece of the pie.
Harold Kuntz, Fox 4 sports reporter here in Kansas City. We'll let you go, man. Obviously, some breaking news here in KC. I know you got some work to do as well. And we'll continue to check in with you maybe next week. Appreciate it, man.
All right. Thanks, man.
There you go. Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 here in KC. His reaction there to the breaking news from Ian Rappaport, which again is a source telling him the Chiefs are closing in. Didn't say it was finalized yet, but closing in on a signing with Travis Kelce on a long-term extension.
If it's 5 years,
at least 5 years.
Yep. Now they're saying 5-year extension or 5 years total in that deal. That would sound like an extension would be 7 years on that deal. My thought is that it's a 5-year total.
So three more years.
So 3 more years beyond that. That would get him pretty close to retiring a Chief. Not all the way there, but pretty close. I've told you my feelings before. If you give single contracts to regular everyday NFL players, you give second contracts to Pro Bowl level players, and you give third contracts to possible Hall of Famers, guess what Travis Kelce is? A possible Hall of Famer one day. The question I continuously ask myself is, even after what they worked, started 2 days ago, you're like, hey man, why are they moving this Okafor money around? Feels like something's coming. Well, they're moving it around to sign Travis Kelce, but dear God, can Brant Hill and Brett Veach handle my finances? Because this is insane.
I didn't think that money was for Travis Kelce. Like, I just didn't think that they were going to get an extension done this quickly. It's fine. Like, use the money, and they're using it, so I'm cool with it.
Yeah, with all the cap space, it was roll it over or make sure you find a way to take care of Travis Kelce. And it appears they're taking care of Travis Kelce, and some of that still could be rolled over. We'll see what the dollar amount, again, we're keeping an eye out for that. But knowing where Travis Kelce currently was slotted, he had signed that five-year, $46 million contract. And
which is
his
peanuts.
Yeah, and this year, the cap hit was $11.2 million. Next year was going to be right at $9 million. And that would have put him into his age 32 season in 2022. Now you're talking about, and I agree the way you read that from Rapport, 5 year. It's probably not a 5 year extension. It's probably a 3 year extension, which keeps him here for the next 5 years, including this year. So 2020 all the way through 2025, or at the end of the 2025 season. And so how do they move the money around? We know that over the cap is reporting the cap figure for the Chiefs based off of opt outs, based off of the Okafor restructure. That they had around $15 million in cap space. So how do they go about structuring it will be very interesting. They've got room, though, to bump his cap hit, his yearly cash number, which is the yearly cash, $9.2 million this year. They can bump that up a couple million dollars even, Cody, and still
try to save themselves some of the back end of this.
Still have over $10 million in cap space for this year. They could give him $4 million more this year, get them close here, and this year they could get near that $15 million average that Kittle's getting.
Do you think he's
going to
get that 5 years, 75? Because
no,
I think it's going to be more like
no, it's not 5 years.
Five for 65 total or something.
It's not going to be 575, but I could see where this year in 2020, while the Chiefs actually have $15 million in cap space and he's already at $11.2 million cap
in,
they could jump the number in a big way. Next year, the number may stay at $9 million. Maybe go up a little bit, Cody. Doesn't go up much. $9 million because the cap uncertainty. And then if it's a five, if it's truly a three-year extension, 2023, 2024, then you could have the number rise again.
I am a little bit hopeful, seeing how they've been working towards this extension for a while, that maybe the numbers they were talking were below Kittle's. Like, Kittle's deal got done today,
and Rapport's reporting this is
supposed to get done in the next couple of days. But if you were Kelce and you're already negotiating a number, then you see Kittle's number, you'd be like, damn, 15?
I don't think he's getting over the... He's not getting...
All right, let's take our shots in the dark. 5 years total, let's say, is what it ends up being, because Rapport's a little unclear if the extension itself is 5 years or if he's going to be here for 5 years, 3 year extension, 2 years of the final. Like, and it could be a 5 year extension as in they're just tearing up the previous 2 years of the deal.
It's possible as well.
In which he had zero guaranteed money coming into those years. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking like 65. Someone would take something different than that? Which honestly, for a guy who produces at his level, that seems dirt cheap to me.
Yeah, by the way, Jeremy Fowler reporting from ESPN that the Chiefs agreed to parameters on he's saying a 4 year extension. That would tie him for the next six seasons. So that would be 2020 this year, next year, and then four more after that is what Fowler's reporting.
Which would put him through age 36?
He's
30 now, right?
Correct. He's 30 now, turns 31 in October.
About 36, 37-year-old season. I'm good with that. He's a future Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
I got no problems with signing future Hall of Famers, these kind of deal. He hasn't had severe injury issues. He's been consistently productive. He's Travis. He's technically Patrick Mahomes' favorite weapon because he targets and throws to him more than anyone else in the entire offense.
Nobody should be upset.
I don't
want to
just be banging the drum. There's risk in any contract, but I mean, this is a perfect deal in my opinion.
Yeah. So it just depends on, I guess, the details, because Rappaport's making it seem like it's an addition to the 2 years, and Fowler's making it seem like it's a 4 year extension in addition to the 2 years as well. So it doesn't seem like it's a rip it up. It doesn't seem like it's a rip it up the next 2 years and start over. It seems like it's truly adding on. Doesn't mean just because they're doing that, though, doesn't mean they don't move some of this money around that's slated to be paid in 2020, 2021. Just keep in mind, we know what the cap situation potentially is going to be.
Well,
they can convert it all the way around into where, remember, Chris Jones didn't even get a single cent signing bonus. Did not get a single cent on the signing bonus to make it work for the cap. They've got $15 million, though, in this year. Next year, the cap's probably going down. The year after that, hopefully it stabilizes itself a little bit. This is where I think also the Saturday NFL game possibility helps for next year's cap. If they have Saturday NFL games for this year, that can help next year's cap. All that comes into play. But this none of us are surprised. We've been talking about waiting on Kittle to have Kelce get a deal for a while on this show, but did not expect that 4 hours after Kittle's deal reportedly was done, that now Kelce and the Chiefs are near the finish line on his extension.
No, it's a tremendous accomplishment in this offseason. What an offseason! Like, for a second, this is ludicrous, right? They have signed Patrick Mahomes to a $500 million deal, Chris Jones to an $80 million deal. They're assigning Travis Kelce to an extension of either, you know, 4 or 5 years, depending on which person has the exact years of the contract, right? They brought in, and that's not the only thing they get done. And seemingly, sort of, earlier this week, we were saying, like, everyone is seemingly taking a pay cut. Essentially, Okafor was guaranteed no more money. He was guaranteed less just to get Kelce done. Like, he didn't have to take that deal. He could get cut and try to go to a different team and could have handled his situation differently, but just straight up took a cut. And he was a productive player. He's not the kind of player who just took a cut to avoid being cut. He wants to be on the Chiefs. I feel like we've seen a consistent theme in that department.
A productive player coming off of an injury as well. Sure. With the pandemic, like,
it's a weird time to be looking for a job. I get it.
Yeah. So it might have been, he did them a favor, but yeah, it could have been, we're going to have to let you go if you don't take this pay cut. But yes, we've seen more players willing to do that and be flexible in a way that I can't ever remember players doing that for a single team.
Yeah,
it's a lot of numbers stacking up in the we moved money around department, okay?
No,
Joe Corey's going to join us tomorrow at 12:10. I'll ask him.
Yeah, he's going to join us on the show. We'll have a chance to talk to him. And it is amazing, though, to think about what the offseason has been for the Chiefs and truly sticking to run it back. You know, like, run it back. I think when it first started outside of Kansas City, people kind of rolled their eyes at it outside of Kansas City area. And they're like, okay, whatever. But they have done that completely throughout this offseason. With every move and decision they have made, it truly has been run it back. And you're running it back without jeopardizing your future at the same time because of how they've structured the contracts. Like, that's what's impressive. It's not just run it back, we're loading up for 1 year, maybe jeopardizing the future. They haven't jeopardized the future one bit because they've been able to structure the contracts in a certain way. Now, we haven't got the final details on what Kelce's deal is going to be, but it's not going to hamper you, presumably, for the future. That's what I think makes it so much more impressive, too, in the way the Chiefs have been able to do this. Nobody thought Kelce wasn't going to be here for the long haul. I don't think anybody thought that. We've talked about this quite a bit.
Yeah, but
now
you
have,
like,
the security. Like, I wouldn't want him past age 34. I said that, and it looks like he's going to be here past age 34. But
so your concern has got to be some, and we can get more into that. We got plenty of time to talk about Travis Kelce's new deal. I'm not saying every contract in the NFL comes with risk. Serious risk. Jeremy Fowler, by the way, reporting the money is not yet finalized, but expecting to come in just under Kittle's $15 million per year. Kelce does turn 31 in October, as he pointed out. Third contract, keeping them together in a, you know, keeping the band together in KC a factor. And again, if Kittle was worth $15 million, I got to be honest, so was Travis Kelce. Like, I know the age thing was always going to be thrown in
his
face.
Not for the life of the contract.
But Travis Kelce has been the most productive tight end in consecutive years, and I'm not even exaggerating, in NFL history. No tight end has been more consistently productive in an offense than Travis Kelce has been. Now, tight ends are changing, and their roles are changing and have changed over the years, but we know that no tight ends ever had four consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. That's Travis Kelce. Only two had three. That was Greg Olsen before that, another incredibly productive tight end.
No, he's worth 15, but I'm saying he's going to get that. It sounds like very just under that number. I am just saying on a yearly average, every single year at the age, if it is going to be what Fowler's saying, 30, age 35, 36, do I want to be paying him $15 million? No, that's all I'm saying. I don't know if I want to be paying a 36-year-old Travis Kelce $15 million that year at his age 36 season. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, the next 3 or 4 years, no problem with it whatsoever. After that, I don't know if I want to be paying a 36-year-old tight end $15 million a year. Now, that might have to be the trade-off in order to make all things work. But it was, you know, if you consider, as you even, we were talking earlier, just about comparing the situations across the National Football League, and you have an owner in Jerry Jones with the Cowboys who claims COVID impacted him signing Dak Prescott. And here's another, I mean, the Chiefs signed Patrick Mahomes to a 12
their money into
Mahomes to a team. You know a 12-year deal basically. You extended Chris Jones for 4 years. You extended Travis Kelce maybe for six, depending on what the actual detail is going to be. You went out and based off this offseason, you did as good as you possibly could do coming off of a championship, and you did it during a pandemic. This is it's not hyperbolic. The Chiefs have had one of the best off seasons in NFL history.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's so over the top. How did they even get this much done? Wasn't even that long ago we were joking about them having $177 in cap space. It's like a different world ago. God, I wish I had that kind of work in my bank account. $177 in cap space four months ago, and then you just go ahead and drop a bill. Like, how much have they spent in free agency contracts? Which is where their risk comes from, by the way. in free agency dollars this year, they've spent like $700 million, right? Or $650 million. That's a ridiculous amount of offseason spending. And it'll tell you just how highly they think of the guys they have, right? Just how highly they think of this group. Because in the NFL, you do not often run. This is the exact opposite of the Patriots model. For the ones that people are like, hey, how do you have the kind of run the Patriots had? This is how they've done it. They always let players go and then saved money on the back end and had these things and finagled and dealt. That's the way they handled those things, Gold, moving forward a lot on there. And the Chiefs are doing it the opposite way. They're holding on to all of their main stars. They have Hill, Kelsey, Jones, Clark, Mahomes. Matthew's only got 2 years left on his deal or one year left on his deal. So like they don't have everyone locked up, but they have a majority of their stars locked up for the long term on big contracts. This is not normally how teams who try to start a dynasty do it. But with Mahomes and surrounding with the people he trusts the most, I like it. And I think there's more than one way to win. And I feel like copying someone's exact model isn't the way to do it either. You got to find your own way of doing it. And we'll find out over the next couple of years just how good of a decision it is long term. But for the next, 5 years, they have Mahomes, Hill, Kelsey, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Mecole Hardman. Or at least for the next three seasons, I guess, with Mecole Hardman because he was early. So for the next 3 seasons, they've got the entire core of their offense locked up. We're not worried about who do they take it. You know, do they need to take a tight end in the draft to kind of back? Not for a while. They can just roll on this for a little bit, start looking at some other positions.
Setting up for a dynasty, no question about it, as the Chiefs continue to run it back for the next maybe more than just 1 year. We'll see how all that turns out. We'll continue to react to the news out today in the last few minutes with Travis Kelce and the Chiefs reportedly agreeing to a 4-year extension, tying him to KC for the next 6 seasons. We continue to do that next here on Cody and Gold.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Back here on Cody and Gold, in the breaking news of the day, the Chiefs and tight end Travis Kelce reportedly have agreed to a 4-year extension, tying him to KC for the next 6 seasons. Future Hall of Fame tight end, going to be locked up for a while. Haven't seen the numbers come out yet, but remember, George Kittle earlier today signed that 5-year contract that pays him on average of $15 million per season. And Jeremy Fowler saying it's going to be just under that $15 million on average per mark. So we'll see exactly how it's structured. We know the Chiefs have been so creative with how they've put together these deals with Mahomes and with Chris Jones. And so just add Travis Kelce to that list. And it's amazing just to think about. And I think we all joke about it, but this is the prime offseason example. When anybody ever says, you can't afford somebody, there's no way a team can't do it, or your cap space is this or that, this offseason is the prime example. That's all a bunch of BS. If you want to take care of your players, you will do it. And yes, 3-4 years from now, the NFL needs to have the salary cap keep going up, or the Chiefs could find themselves in some problems then. But I think we're going to get past COVID, and in 2023, 2024, the cap will be rising once again. I think it'll rise before that, as a matter of fact. I think they're going to be okay. Yeah, the things get tougher. Yeah, but you know what? I'd rather be in a tougher spot when I know I'm locking up a Hall of Fame tight end. I know I have Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones, and certainly you brought up Tyreek Hill as well, involved in this. So yeah, this is the preferred route to go, no question, for Kansas City. And you go from having less than $200 in cap space to finding ways to have three massive deals, one that's bigger than any we've ever seen.
Kelce trying to steal Kittle's spotlight from the time he took the receiving yardage for the year leader from him. Is that 2 years ago, sort of?
Yep. It's the year they lost to the Patriots in the AFC title game.
I don't want to remember that. It's all good times over here now.
Yeah. Who cares? All good times. Who cares about that?
Is it not that he needs any more credit for any particular thing, because he doesn't, but all of these deals are possible because of the structure in Patrick Mahomes' deal. And the reason why is not necessarily where he's taking the money. That does help, right? He's taking the money earlier rather than earlier. Not just that, but because they know the exact cap hit Patrick Mahomes is for the next 12 years. Now, I know that there's flexibility. You might have to restructure halfway through there. There are opt-out availabilities, and things can certainly move around. But they have a complete number they can count on for the next 12 seasons for Patrick Mahomes, which I don't know how to tell everybody this, makes it a whole lot easier to plan out other long-term extensions for other players. Tom Brady never signed, you know, like they had to do shorter-term deals with some guys or move these things around. It's all very different. When you've got a guy under a contract for 12 years, you can make other contracts happen a whole lot easier, in my opinion.
Patrick Mahomes, you remember back in early July, he was on with the guys on the drive here on 610, and they asked him about his deal. And this was the answer Mahomes gave when he talked about how he structured his deal and making sure they can still spend.
It was very important. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest things you have to take into account whenever you're signing one of these type of deals. I mean, I understand that I'm as good as the guys that are around me, and I understand that being a part of this team has made me be the best player that I can be. And so I want to keep those guys around me. I want to reward those guys for being the players that they are and having the success they've had so far in their career. And I know that with this contract, I'll be able to have flexibility to help do that and to help out my team in every way possible. And I'm excited that we have a young nucleus of players that will be able to stay together for a long time.
All right, now here again, whether it's Mahomes saying it then, and then since that comment, Chris Jones has been taken care of. Now Travis Kelce's been taken care of.
And Kelce's the only risky one because he's the only guy who's coming into his age 36 season. Chris Jones will be barely into his 30s. Patrick Mahomes, it doesn't matter. I don't care how old he is. You could have told me he was 60 at the end of this deal, and I would have probably signed up for it. But all the other extensions they've done and the money they've tossed around this offseason have been with young players. There's not much risk with Chris Jones. There's risk with Kelce at the end of this thing, but, I mean, he stood by his word. But all that money makes it possible. And I guess that's why they moved that Okafor money a couple days ago.
Yeah, we'll definitely know the answer to that when we see
get the yearly.
When we get the yearly. Because even before the Okafor restructure, they still had, what, $13 million in cap space? Now, I kept bringing up the cap hit number for Kelce, which is 11.2 this year before the new deal. His yearly salary, though, it was like eight something million actually in yearly salaries for this year. So it was even less. So Kelce's getting a nice bump this year. Now it's going to go up $2 million. It's going to go up four, or is it go up five? Like that's how much are they willing? They have the room though to not
pay
even
him a little now.
Normally,
yeah.
Like when you say front load, you think the first 2 years of a contract. But if it's even though it's a 4 year extension, they could still do the new contract, move some of it right away to this year.
Keep him cheap
next year. And then it goes up the final couple years of the deal. That's just how I wonder if that's how they'll structure it.
Well, because of not knowing where the cap's going to be next year, they're going to have some of that. This, if, in case you're just hearing, there's a report now that Travis Kelce has signed, or is close to signing, an extension with the Kansas City Chiefs that could keep him in Kansas City 4 years past his original deal, according to Jeremy Fowler, which would be a six-year total contract. And of course, don't forget, we're your official Chiefs radio partner, the broadcast partner. You'll hear all the games over on our sister station, 106.5 The Wolf. But you will catch all kinds of exclusive material here. We're the partner. That means you get to hear exclusive Mahomes interviews every week on The Drive with Carrington and Sean Levine. You get to hear live press conferences. You get to hear from Andy Reid and exclusive one-on-one interviews with players as well, including Kalichi Osemele tomorrow on The Drive. But that'll be every single day of training camp and every single week of the regular season. We are the official broadcast partners of the Kansas City Chiefs with the games over on our friends at 106.5 The Wolf. That will include, live carrying Travis Kelce's eventually extension press conference, which will be coming here soon enough, according to the reports from both Jeremy Fowler, Ian Rappaport, and others.
Yeah, hopefully this thing gets wrapped up, too, before tomorrow. Andy Reid going to have his press conference, and that'll be live here on our show here on 610 Sports Radio. So, yeah, there's no other place to be for Chiefs coverage. 610 Sports Radio, the place to be. I also think, you heard from Mahomes over a month ago, and go way back to even the combine. It was the same, comments about running it back and wanting to retain players. And now Travis Kelce had 2 years left on his contract. He wasn't going anywhere for this year, but still, it's not often that you hear, whether it's a coach or a general manager, say something in the offseason, especially that early in the offseason, like the combine in Indianapolis. Oh, and then have a pandemic hit the world to impact financial stability within organizations, and you still were able to stick to your word. It wasn't just a bunch of BS that was thrown out there. They truly meant it. Clearly, they have backed it up as much as you could possibly back it up about running it back, taking care of those guys. Not if you're Mahomes, not going crazy on the contract even more than what $500 million contract is, right? Making sure you could surround yourself and keep this core group together. And they've been able to achieve it. And it has been an unbelievable offseason for Kansas City, as good as you'll ever see. When you're talking about coming off a Super Bowl, retaining talent, not just for this year, but the key guys, retaining them for years to come.
I hope they go sign Clowney now, too. Just really say. Just F it. Just here we are, fellas. They've decided to keep their players here. By the way, if could you imagine an organization right now you'd be less worried about taking care of you? Like, I mean, they're men of their word now, aren't they?
I mean,
now they traded for Frank Clark, so that deal was always going to get done. But they have taken care of, to an extent, Kelsey, Mahomes, Jones. Like, I mean, Kelsey, I mean, they're taking care of the entire squad. Even in some of the cases, they didn't let guys go when that would have been almost the easier decision. Like, it almost would have been the easier decision to let Sammy Watkins walk, right? Saved a few million dollars, assumed that your wide receivers were set to go, and then make the decision. But instead, they're like, hey, no, let's rework it. We want you here. This team's great with you. Let's keep things around. They have essentially taken care of almost every single player on their roster at this point.
Go back to Monday. We played the audio of it. I'll play it again here. This was Sammy Watkins. He was asked about what convinced him to come back to Kansas City. And he said he talked to his teammates and that it wasn't about money. Him even making that decision, like just all of it, it takes a lot of things to align perfectly. And the Chiefs are in a very fortunate spot where you've got your head coach, you've got Brett Veach, you've got your quarterback, you've got guys that have tasted winning, they've won a Super Bowl, they know they're talking about legacies now. I think all of that, this is not normal. This is not normal in sports. This isn't supposed to happen, where you're able to retain guys at this rate. You're not supposed to have everybody appearing to be getting along just fine. The message is, to your point there a little bit, that it sends in the locker room that when you play at a high level, if you are truly that valuable to the organization, they are going to find every way possible to take care of you. Oh yeah, even if it's during a pandemic and the finances and revenue coming in for ownership is going to be less than ever in the last 20 years, right, as far as the rate that it increases, that they were still able to do that. Like, that's it's an unbelievable message that it does send to the rest of the team. And I give props to Clark Hunt and the ownership, because every time these new deals happen, that money goes in escrow. Like, that's a check you have to write immediately. That's not worry about it 3 years from now. Even though we mentioned the cap going up and all that, that's something that you have to
$700 million.
That's something you have to do right now. Think about all the money that they have had to write a check for immediately. I understand how much he's worth and all that, but still, that's not something that every ownership group is willing to do, and every owner, I should say, is willing to do. Three big time contracts, one that was record setting.
Man, I don't know. It is a lot of money they have spent. I'm genuinely super impressed with their ability to get everything done, because coming into this offseason, I don't know how we would have described a perfect offseason. Said, what is the perfect offseason for Kansas City? We could probably go back and listen to that segment.
Yeah.
And this would have been light of my expectations of the perfect offseason. The best version of the offseason, I wouldn't have predicted this.
This is what Ian Rapoport had to say when he broke the news a little bit earlier on NFL Network.
I don't know if this is actually National Tight End Day. It's theoretically possible, but at least it should be. First, George Kittle, $15 million per year on a massive extension. And now sources say that the Chiefs are closing in on a deal with their star tight end, Travis Kelce. He is expected to get a deal of at least 5 years, possibly one more tacked on to the end. And the total, the average per year, should get kind of close to around where George Kittle is. Structure is going to be a little different, of course, just because it's going to be a third deal for Travis Kelce. Very different part of his career. But the main thing is, for the Kansas City Chiefs, who did a big deal for Patrick Mahomes, did a big deal for Chris Jones, another of their star players they are keeping right home and very well paid.
I'm going to need the NFL to take care of their business and handle themselves, because if they do all this and then for some reason we don't get most of the season, I'm just going to be real disappointed. Team's loaded, and loaded for years. Like, if you want to talk about windows, with this current roster as constructed for the next 3 years offensively, their window is at least 3 years. I think it's probably in that 3 to 5 range, but at least 3 years.
Yeah,
they
five's
have,
a little, yeah, five's
well,
a little
three,
tough,
they but. Have Kelce, Hill, Mecole Hardman, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Patrick Mahomes. So go ahead and sign me
go
up
and
for
throw Clyde
three
in there
now.
Already. Go ahead and throw Clyde in there already.
You already know
go
where
ahead.
I'm at.
Go ahead and throw Clyde in there already.
You already know where I'm at. You already know where I'm at on Clyde. I've made it very clear. Uh-huh. I was over with Mackenzie Nelson with KSHB the other day, and I told her 1,600 yards and 10 touchdowns or something, so I don't care. I'm already sold on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, so it's too late for me.
I'm apparently really down on him because I only think he's going to have 1,000 yards this year. Yeah.
You're down, man.
Very down on him.
I'm not down. But you got that locked up for the next 3 years?
Yeah.
You can go and sign me up that's at least their window. Defensively, they've got more guys that aren't under contract for that long. But they got Frank Clark and Chris Jones. So they got the stability of the pass rush locked up at that position. And, you know, I assume at some point, Charvarius Ward will probably be here a little bit longer than this original first contract. And defenses change so much, I don't even worry as much about them being around long term. Offense can last for a long time. What you don't see very often is, and this is why you saw fluctuation in what Tom Brady's offensive stats were, how good their offense was. They were one of the most, the reason why they won Super Bowl after Super Bowl, part of it was Tom Brady, there's no question. But the thing they never talk about with the Patriots is the fact that they were one of the most consistently good defensive teams in the league for 15 years. And that's almost impossible to accomplish. It's easy to be great defensively for 3 years. It's really hard to be consistently good on defense for a 15-year stretch. So I'm not even worried about that as much with Kansas City. They're trying to be great at the thing they're truly great at, and they've got a lot of those guys locked up.
I want to pull the numbers up again for Tony Gonzalez one more time. We were talking in 11 o'clock hour today during the Chiefs Red Half Hour when we were saying, well, maybe the Kittle deal could lead to a Kelce contract, and here we are now a couple hours later talking about that deal potentially being done. If you're wondering, because this is going to be a comparison, because Kelce, if this is truly a four-year extension like it's being reported, he's going to be 31 in October, and so you back it out for six more years, you're talking about getting your age 36, 37 season. And the production, I mean, you would sign up for this in a heartbeat. This was the back end of Gonzalez's career, and we all agree on the show that Kelce is going to end up being a Hall of Fame tight end.
He's a better tight end than Travis Kelce, than Tony Gonzalez.
Right, okay, yeah.
For
me. Yeah. So he's going to be a Hall of Fame tight end. The back end of Gonzalez's career was unbelievable. At age 36 and 37, this is the type of production he put up. Now, I think this is also something that you only see from Hall of Fame tight ends, which is why Kelce's certainly capable of doing it, but would concern me a little bit. If you want to feel better about that age 37 season, I'm going to read you these numbers, and you'll be like, okay, yeah, I'm not concerned whatsoever. Because at age 36 in Atlanta, didn't have Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback. Tony Gonzalez had 93 receptions, 930 yards, and 8 touchdowns. His age 36 season. His age 37 season, 83 catches, 859 yards, and 8 touchdowns. The production was still, if you compare it right now to go look at last year, what tight ends in the National Football League had 930 yards and 93 receptions and 8 touchdowns? Yeah, there's probably not many that even had that. And that was at an age 36 and 37 season. And that's, Gonzalez is a Hall of Famer for a reason. Like, that's not normal. But that's what still is possible from another Hall of Fame tight end. I think that's a big ask still from Kelce at age 36 and 37. Like, if that's your standard, I think you might end up being disappointed. And it's not to say that Kelce's not playing like a better tight end right now than Gonzalez was at that time. I just think that's not normal at age 37 to be as a tight end to be putting up that. Especially if we think they're going to be winning, by the way, and going to multiple Super Bowls, he's going to be playing longer seasons. He's going to be putting more games. He's going to put more wear and tear on his body. There's some of that factors in.
We just don't have, the problem is like, what sample size am I going to give you, Gold? It's like one dude. I can point to one guy.
Yep.
A tight end who played that way because the position wasn't really the same. You've said, you know, Tony Gonzalez was the guy who ushered in the new era of tight ends. And that's even a bit of a misnomer only because, no, he definitely did that. But there are only really at any one time in the NFL, like two or three dudes who play that way. Yeah. Like it was Antonio Gates for a little while. It was Jimmy Graham for a little while. Now it's Travis Kelce and George Kittle, and probably to an extent Darren Waller from last year, who had 1,145 yards. You might not have realized that. 90 catches for the Oakland Raiders. But that's kind of it, right? I mean, Ertz, when he's healthy?
Yeah, it's been a little while, but yes.
But then you're talking about Austin Hooper, who I know didn't play as many games, but all those guys, Ertz, Hooper, only three receivers would have topped that production you just talked about with Tony Gonzalez at age 37. That's what I'm telling you. If this is a six-year deal, Travis Kelce will average 1,100 yards a year over the course of that six-year deal. And that's why he's worth every cent. Even for the down year that's 950 or the up year, the next couple years that's 1,200, averaging 1,100 over the next 6 years makes him worth every penny of just under George Kittle money. So let's call it, a little under 15 per year. It's worth that money because this is still an undervalued position. So even though Kittle and now Kelce have jumped that number, it's still less than affording a number one wide receiver. And I feel better about a tight end being good to age 36 than I do a wide receiver because he relies less on elite speed than those guys.
Yeah, that's not part of the game that you're concerned with.
It's part of his game. He's definitely fast. Travis Kelce's fast.
Yeah, but that's not the part that, even if it diminishes, which it will, right? Mother Nature, like, Father Time is undefeated. Like, that part will, but he's still going to be a very, very effective tight end. Again, reacting to the news, which is the Chiefs very close to an extension with tight end Travis Kelce, originally reported by Ian Rappaport, and just the market for tight ends in the last couple of hours, it's gone up 41%. I mean, that's amazing.
That's
Dan Graziano
had
that stat. 41% increase in the top of the tight end market.
That's paying the next elite wide receiver $33 million
a year.
Yeah,
running back $22.5 million.
Or Patrick Mahomes, $63 million a year. You're like, okay, well, the tight end market took a jump. It should have, though. The only market now left to not take a jump is safety is actually still relatively cheap. Not cheap, because you can still get a safety for $50 million a year, so it's better than tight end. Running back, is that it? Is that the last market to not take a jump in the last decade?
Yeah, and running back's not going to be doing that for a while, I don't believe, just where the NFL is at. But yeah, it was overdue for the tight end position, but there's still not, like, there's nobody else that should be able to really reset it again for a long, long time, it appears.
I mean, it's going to be difficult to do that. I mean, how at this point? I just think it's going to take a few years to...
Like, I don't think we're going to be talking about 3 years from
Waller,
now. Darren
Waller,
3 years
he's
from now.
Make 15
no, but
million?
I don't think Darren Waller 3 years from now is going
to reset it. I think it'll just match.
There's a difference. Like, I don't think Darren Waller 3 years from now is going to be making $19 million on average a year for a tight end. We just saw a 41% increase, which was a $4.5 million increase. You're not going to have 3 years later another 41% increase at the tight end position. Either way, the Chiefs clearly had been working on this with Travis Kelce, and it was waiting around maybe to see what this Kittle number was going to be a little bit to kind of push it forward. It sounds like maybe they had the framework done based off of what Rappaport and Jeremy Fowler have been tweeting out. The framework was done, but maybe they were looking for the final tweak once they knew what that number was going to be for Kittle to kind of adjust. Maybe they were at 14 point something and
they wanted to bump
it up a little bit more. Now the Kittle number's for sure on average of $15 million per year. But we've had a lot of these exciting days in Kansas City this offseason when it comes to contracts and future pieces being locked up for the long haul here.
I mean, Kelce told Nate Taylor at The Athletic that he wanted to stay with Patrick Mahomes. Quote, he's the best player in the NFL. The report still is that he could get a 4-year extension that would keep him in Kansas City until 2025 season. Woo!
The final word.
Obviously exciting news there, but I'll take the final word today. We'll talk more about this tomorrow, I'm sure. But did you see this from Seattle? Apparently, their rookie cornerback, Kamaz Silverend, this week was cut after he was caught on video trying to sneak a female visitor into the team hotel. Obviously, there's COVID going on, so that's putting the whole team at risk. But the woman was wearing Seahawks gear in an attempt to disguise her as a player, according to Tom Pelissero. This guy was trying to bring in somebody wearing Seahawks gear thinking she would look like a player. That was his plan.
Maybe like a trainer.
That wouldn't work whether it was COVID times or not. Then you factor in COVID. Can't be sneaking play. Like, we've talked a lot about the bubble. Did someone snitch on this guy? Do we know? Reminder, we have a snitch line voicemail now.
Yeah, we do.
Because I wonder if maybe that's how they found out. There is a snitch line, not just the text line anymore. We now have a snitch line on this show as well with the voicemail. Don't forget about that. The number is 913-662-1270. That's opened up on Cody and Gold. Tomorrow, we'll have plenty more reaction to Travis Kelce's news. You're going to hear from Andy Reid on our show tomorrow, his live press conference. But coming up next, the Drive's got you handled. More on Travis Kelce's reported extension with KC.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.